As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And that sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. Show me the facts, show me your law, and show me your evidence, please. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air, Pilgrim. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Thursday, July the 14th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, of course. Always good news, lots of that today. Hard facts, workable solutions, when we can find them, where we can find them. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you most certainly are not alone. But you are definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of, of philosophical radicalism. You grind it out there, buddy. Where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Yeah, it is. It is. Freedom is popular. I love it. Anyway, Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. And to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com. That's right. It's easy to type becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion. Chatter's in there already. Pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in locally at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free, our dime, your time, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. So easy to get a hold of me. It's pathetic. Anyway, bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Mo. 65647. Last time I checked, the key still opens the box door at P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri. It's EXETERMO. At 65647. A big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, reallibertymedia.com, channel 16, and talkstreamlive.com. Lots of ways to listen to the broadcast each and every morning, and thank you all for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065, and your calls are certainly welcome. This morning, gold rally surges to an all-time high. Silver's winning big, though. Fed is out of ammo. Ron Paul grills Bernanke. Gold is money. Mining stock surge. Yeah, pretty good market report this morning, folks. Carbon trading fizzles. Blue gold loses its sizzle. And the Japs nationalize the nukes. That's all in the news basket today. Of course, we'll go back into the new world of Henry St. Simon, the technotalitarianism. And we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast and much, much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning. This one behind us, good news. Active trading, New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but an hour ago found gold trading up another $8.20 at $1,590.80, scratching at the door of $1,600 gold. Silver up 92 cents, the big winner, 2% move up there at $39.15 a troy ounce. Platinum up 21 bucks at $1,774, and palladium up 10 bucks at $784 an ounce. That's the kind of good news I needed to get my day off to a great start. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,578.40 for a low, $1,595.60 for a high, but at $1,590.80, your gold is up $381 year to year for a 31.53% return on your investment. The boys in London, they had to do it. They couldn't avoid it. The London Gold Fixers over there, the London Bullion Market Association, set the price at $1,592.50, and they didn't like to have to do that. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com. You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Thursday, July the 14th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, now getting underway for the day, Thursday. Again, we welcome you back. Let's go back into our market report. After trading again out of New York City, just got to say it again, it sounds so good. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, find gold trading up $8.20 at $1,590.80 an ounce. Silver, the big winner, 2% push, up 92 cents an ounce at $39.15. Platinum, again, these are spot prices. You won't be able to buy anything at these prices, but it gives you an indicator. Platinum up $21 at $1,774. And palladium up 10 at $784. The London gold fix again, $1,592.50. The SPDR gold shares show unchanged overnight. They claim to be holding 1,225.41 ounces of gold in their electronic treasure chest. Excuse me, not ounces, metric tons. Wow, big difference there, Willie. 1,225.41 metric tons unchanged at $62.2 billion. Big hands, deep pockets in this marketplace. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average turned around their losing streak and closed up 45 at 12,492. The NASDAQ closed up 15 at 2797. And the S&P 500 closed up 4 at 1318. This morning, crude oil up 17 more cents at $98.22 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index this morning, that's your trade-weighted basket of currencies. You can find out all about that at theice.com, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s website. It's a little trade-weighted basket of currencies. Moves up 3 basis points at 75.02. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates, We're this morning in our North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement. We find the Canadian loonie here up 32 basis points at $1.04 U.S. The Mexican peso still hanging in there at 9 cents a pop, up 16 basis points. The euro, strong move today, up 32 basis points at $1.42. The British pound shows flat as of airtime at $1.61. And that Swiss franc, causing lots of trouble for the Swiss, continues to climb and climb and climb this morning, up 12 basis points at $1.23 against the U.S. buckaroonie. You had to put some bucks into the Swiss franc a year ago, as I suggested, you'd be up about 25% right now. The bond that you market this morning, the U.S. Treasuries, the yield on the two-year Treasuries is at 0.37%. The 10-year yield is at 2.92, and the 30 at 4.21. The cost of those bonds going up, the yield is going the other way. It's not a good situation. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages, just about flat. Moves down from 3.65% a month ago to 3.64% this morning. In the 30-year, likewise, tiny moves going on here from 4.47% a month ago back up to 4.49%. Of course, your prime rate chiseled into the side of Tutankhamun's tomb there, 3.25%. Your gold-to-silver ratio, it'll take you 40.60 ounces of silver to bring home an ounce of gold this morning, most likely, most places. Let's go to the market report and look at this. Econoday calendar, lots of action happening here yesterday and today, today being the big day of the week. Tomorrow, we'll get the Consumer Price Index out, the Empire State Manufacturing Survey, Industrial Production and Consumer Sentiment. Today, Producer Price Index, that's the PPI, the retail sales, jobless, they're all out. Yesterday, we did after the broadcast started, we came out the petroleum status report. But let's just walk right straight through all of these quickly off of Econoday. Again, the website. I like to go to the Econoday website simply because this is the minimalist approach to economic news. You can go in and get the big articles off of Bloomberg and other places, MarketWatch, you know, lots of other places where they just add lots and lots of words and experts say, but it basically runs off of this material. So we'll just use this and go with it. Highlights: a drop in oil imports led to a 3.1 million barrel draw in commercial oil stocks. Okay, so they're taking stuff out of the big tanks for the July 8 week to 355.5 million. This is the sixth straight weekly draw, which is a rare streak during which imports have dropped from the 10 million barrel per day level to the 9 million level. All right, that's a lot of oil, 10 million barrels per day to a 9 million barrels per day. Demand for oil, however, is steady, they say, and firm, with refineries operating at 88% of their capacity. They're not running at 100%. They're 12 under at 88. But on the consumption side, now this just doesn't make any sense. With demand for oil steady and firm, but on the consumption side, lower prices aren't boosting gasoline, where demand is down. Now, how can you have the demand for the products down, but the demand for oil up, unless we're putting back into the oil surpluses, the strategic oil supply or whatever, unless we're recharging that somehow or another, how do we have demand for oil steady? I don't know. But on the consumption side, lower prices aren't boosting gasoline, where demand is down 0.9%. We got all of the sheeple trained. Everybody's under, you know, voluntary house arrest, so people aren't out there tootling about. The heat waves, the droughts, the floods, and everything else, people are pretty much just, you know, in shock. Anyway, continues, weak distillate demand, that's your diesel, that would be your trucks, your farmers, your contractors, you know, your big Caterpillar tractors, your big John Deere tractors, your International Harvesters, okay, your Peterbilts and all that. Weak distillate demand, down 5.2% year-on-year, is a weak indication for industrial activity. Are not moving stuff around on the highways. If refineries keep up the output at the same time the demand rate remains weak, further draws for petroleum stocks may be unlikely. Well, that follows, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you can refine all the oil you want, but once you've got all the pots and pans filled again, unless there's somebody there that wants to buy some, you're fresh out of luck, Bubba. Anyway, that's that story. Here's another one, the producer price index. Okay, so the producers, they got to make things, right? So they're going to make Lazy Boy recliners, and they're going to need to have some wood for the frames and some cardboard to staple together and, you know, some cloth to make the seat backs out of and some imitation leather so they can sell the high-end ones, you know. Lazy Boy, they're going big time up in Neocho. Anyway, the producer price index, the more it costs them to make things, then, of course, the more it's going to cost you to buy them. But in June, lower energy costs gave the economy a break, they say. Producer price inflation in June turned negative, with prices dropping about 0.4%, so they had less than half of a percent of a drop in prices for the things that they need to put into the things that you want to buy, following a relatively soft rise of 0.2% in May. And that also, this producer price index, it also includes things like flour, you know, and all of those chemicals that they put into your, you know, Hostess Ho-Hos and Twinkies. Anyway, continuing, by major components, energy fell a sizable 2.8% after rising 1.5% in May. So if they're not shipping, and they're not hauling, and they're not selling, of course their energy components are going to fall, and that's just the way it goes. Gasoline dropped 4.7% after rising 2.7% the prior month. So you just average those two out, and you'll see that you've got about a 2% drop overall in the two-month period, 60-day period. Food costs rebounded 0.6% following a 1.4% dip the prior month. You average those two out, you know, you're up only about half of a percent. We'll be right back.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So, of course, as they claim, you know, gasoline prices dropping. Went cruising by one of those stations the other day. I didn't notice any significant drop here locally. But they continue and they say food costs rebounded. Yeah, 0.6% again, following a 1.4% dip the prior month. I haven't seen any decline in food prices. Have you? Accounting for almost 60% of food costs jump. Prices for fresh fruits and melons increased 11.8%, let's call it 12%. After falling 11.1% the prior month, okay? So you got to, you know, everybody knows of watermelons and, you know, cantaloupes and things like that, and your apples and your oranges, you know, they're almost unbelievable in prices. The other day I was looking at oranges from California, and they were running about 40 cents a pop. Some of them, the more choice brand was 50 cents each. You know, that's unbelievable in my mind. But you think about it, you know, they all go in the back of these refrigerated trucks and they get hauled around. It's not like you can't compress them all down, you know, and hang on to them forever. Once you crack open one of those big warehouses and get them out of the climate-controlled and gasified zone that they're stored in, you pretty well got to get them to a store, all right? And with all the heat that's been going on for the past few months, you can imagine how much spoilage that they're having. So anyway, again, it's always prices for the fresh fruits and the melons when they're in season. They're up, and they're up high. At the core level, the PPI inflation bumped up 0.3%, which is, you know, relatively negligible, from 0.2% in May, and topping the median forecast of 0.2%. Almost half of the June rise can be traced to prices for light motor trucks, which increased 1.6%, following a 0.6% decline. I'm sure you all ran out last week and bought yourself a new Chevy Mini or something. Anyway, prices for this subcomponent level were likely supported by shortages of models dependent on parts from Japan. So it's kind of handy when the U.S. is not selling any cars and, you know, GM virtually has their hat in their hands. It's kind of handy that they are not able to put all the parts together to build our competitive Toyotas, or whatever you call them, and others. But and continuing, it says, in advance here in the index for plastic products, also was a factor in the higher finished core prices. Overall, the PPI producer price index the year ago pace in June came in at 7.0%, matching the rate in May, seasonally adjusted. So we've got inflation, and it's coming on us, and it's coming at us. Let's go on a little further. Retail sales. Retail sales edged up in June despite a price-related drop in gasoline sales. So it's kind of reiteration. Overall, retail sales in June edged up 0.1%, so the retail sector is not doing too good, following a 0.1% dip in May. You take the 2 months average amount, it's zero. Okay, that's what happens. That's what happens. The increase in June was marginally better than they forecasted for no change. No change. Should have put that one in caps. Anyway, they didn't. No change. Well, we're getting plenty of no change, and I hope that's what you wanted when you voted for the usurper. A rebound in auto sales helped lift overall sales. Now, where is that rebound shown? Well, I guess they had it someplace. But motor vehicle sales made a partial 0.8% rebound after dropping 1.8% in May. So, you know, take the two, and you're still down 1%. Both months' sales were constrained by shortages of models dependent upon parts from Japan, so that's just really helping out. Excluding the auto sales, were flat. Right? You get the idea, people? You know, he's going out to the mall and look around. Outside of auto and gasoline, sales were mixed. Get out the gas, get out the cars, and sales was mixed. The biggest gains were seen in building materials and garden equipment. Oh, come on, please. What are people buying anyway? Duct tape, paint. clothing and accessories, yeah, well, it's summer, and general merchandise stores. Also gaining were food and beverage, non-store retail. You can be sure of that, baby. Those Tostino pizzas and Hot Pockets are going out the door with 12 packs of beer like nobody's business. Non-store retailers, what's that? The free market? Is that what you do behind the A&P's dumpster back there? And miscellaneous store retailers. Well, the largest decliners were furniture and home furnishings, down 8%, 0.8%. Sporting goods, hobbies, and bookstores, people quit reading. They're no longer building model cars and airplanes. No more. They'll just have to make do with their lazy boy for one more year. And food services and drinking places. So people aren't going out and getting stoned and drunk, and they're not buying pizzas outside the house. Also falling were electronics and appliances and health and personal care. So we're getting dirty, stinky, ugly, cheap, broke, and everything's being done by hand. I guess that just about sums it up. Let's go to the next one. Jobless claims. Well, here's part of the problem. The headline decline in jobless claims is good news, though there's special factors at play that cloud the July 9th week. Okay? So the consensus range here was from anywhere between 395,000 to 415. They got 405,000. But remember, that's one less day of reporting. So if you bring in that other day that's not reported on the day on Monday when it was closed for the July the 4th holiday, they would probably be right on top of the forecast. Another factor is uncertainty over the week-to-week timing of shutdowns, including auto retooling in the manufacturing sector, a seasonal factor that lowers claims after adjustments and always makes for uncertain readings at this time of the year. So as the automobile manufacturers try and dream up some new gimmick to stick into a car that it didn't need anyway, then they're all closed down, and that's the way it goes in union work. One factor that is clearly inflating claims is the government shutdown in Minnesota, which added 11,500 useless people. That's good. Before the adjustment to the week's total. That's great. A look at the four-week average, especially important for uncertain periods, is favorable, down 3,750 claims. Well, that's not much, I can tell you that. That's right. Well, the Japs are going to nationalize their nukes. At least this is what this article is aiming at. Japan should nationalize Well, before we go there, I want to jump over here and pick this one up. The AM Kitco Metals Roundup Comics Gold hits another record high. Silver closing in on $40. This one being written by Jim Wyckoff. Comics Gold futures are trading modestly higher Thursday and scored another fresh all-time high record high at $1,594.90, folks. $5 shy of $1,600 gold. Basis the August futures, silver's trading solidly higher and hit a fresh nine-week high overnight as prices closed in on the $40 ounce again. Safe haven investment demand is again featured amid the European sovereign debt crisis and the U.S. government wrangling over its debt ceiling. All right, good stuff in all here. News late Wednesday was that Moody's issued a warning on the U.S. government's debt from a AAA rating. Now, Jim has made a mistake here. He's got three capital A's. That's important. You got to watch for the uppercase and lowercase. It's A, capital A, two lowercase A's. But they're probably thinking about dropping it to a triple lowercase A right about now. Anyway, the Russians are getting in on this too, by the way. The Moody's warning on U.S. debt was no big surprise, blah, 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 and who cares, right? Crude oil prices are trading near steady on Thursday. Fears that a world economic slowdown is in progress amid the EU debt crisis have been a bearish weight on crude oil markets recently, and so on and so forth. And so they tell you even more about the details of where gold may or may not go and what's happening in silver. Back to Japan. Japan should nationalize the operation of nuclear plants. All right, so what we do here is we nationalize, if you will, you privatize the profits and you socialize the losses. Profit good, loss bad. But they want to nationalize this. Why? Well, because the risk, the financial liability, strict liability or limited liability of running nuclear plants is so high, I guess, that what they want to do is they want to privatize the profit, of course, and then they'll nationalize it so that if these companies have any trouble, that you, the people, get to pay the bill. And that's the way it's always working. But Japan should nationalize the operation of nuclear plants following the disaster at the TEPCO Daiichi Station in Fukushima. I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So back to this idea of nationalizing the nukes in Japan. Here's the quote. When we consider the risk of atomic energy, I don't think private companies can bear the burden, close quote, said Sumio Mabuchi, a former advisor to Kan on the nuclear accident, said yesterday in an interview at his office in Tokyo, quote, I think at least Tokyo Electric must separate its nuclear operations. So we'll probably see something like that going on globally as more and more pressure comes on the nuke in the face of the increasing usage of Don Quixote's windmills and the silver-sucking solar panels. Well, anyway, that's that story. Let's continue and take a look at this one. Utilities, they say here, shot themselves in the foot over early carbon sales, the UBS says. Got a lot of BS here for sure. Matthew Carr writing. New news for Bloomberg. European utilities pushed down the prices for carbon and power, as well as the value of their shares when they sought early supplies of hundreds of millions of tons of emission permits for the phase starting in 2013. Okay, so they're out there selling the king's clothing, these carbon credits. Going to the Pope and buying an indulgence so you can marry your daughter. Anyway, it's very the same that way. But they have shot themselves in the foot, said Per Lacander, an analyst at the bank in Paris yesterday in a telephone interview. He said the lobbyists delivered the results just when they didn't need it. All right? The European Commission has said it might supply about 420 million tons of post-2012 allowances through next year in sales that may start as earlier as this year. So, as we've seen before, the carbon credit market, it's what a Ponzi scheme. It's just another Al Gore invention, and it needs to be done away with. Neo Solar Power of Taiwan raises $132.4 million from the sale of GDR. This is an article by Yu Hui. Yu Hui. Hi, my name's Yu Hui, son. Ah, yeah. What's up, son? Anyway, Neo Solar Power raised $132.4 million selling 20 million global depository receipts. A global depository receipt. That was a new one through me. That's why I'm sharing with you. At $6.62. That Dickens is a global depository receipt. Anyway, each GDR represents 5 common shares, according to a statement. So we've got a new statement or a new term in our lexicon. T-Bone Pickens, he's back in the news again. Pickens, water to riches, this is blue gold. Pickens, water to riches, blue gold dream fizzles as Texas cities buy their rights. You know, you can go back and look at Wayne Age, Storm Over the Rangelands, and listen to Hal Anthony's broadcast on Sunday. He'll talk to you all about mining rights and water rights and your rights on the land. Well, this is kind of backfiring on T-Bone. Amarillo, Lubbock, and 9 other West Texas cities coping with the worst drought in more than 50 years solved some of their water problems by waiting out Boone Pickens, the billionaire Dallas oil man. The Canadian River Municipal Water Authority, supplying the 11 cities with a combined population of about 500,000, will issue bonds to buy Pickens' water rights. Water rights, that's important. Water rights, underline that. Water rights, very important. Water rights on 211,000 acres. Kind of a nice size spread there. General Manager Kent Soderwhite said many of the rights are in Roberts County. Wow, got a county down there, which has more underground water than any Texas county, according to Amarillo Utilities Director Emmett Autry. So T-Bone Pickens is trying to get the corner on blue gold, and it's backfiring. Pickens, 83, started buying water rights northeast of Lubbock and Amarillo more than 10 years ago, and of course we were talking about it then. By 2002, the investor was predicting he could start selling water in 3 years to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He wanted to pipe it along there, okay? He was going to build a $3 billion pipeline to the 4th largest U.S. metropolitan region by population, 350 miles away, yet he couldn't put the deal together. All right? He's going to put $3 billion into a pipeline to pipe water from his water rights into the city. I wasn't getting any serious negotiations with Dallas-Fort Worth, Pickens said on July the 12th in an interview in New York, quote, I thought if we were going to sell it and they want it locally, well, we'll sell it to them. The Canadian River Authority, based northeast of Amarillo and Sanford, will sell bonds in the next 60 days to pay for its $103 million water purchase. Pickens sold the rights held by Mesa Water, Inc. for about $500 an acre. All right, I'm not going to read the rest of the article, all right, but he's only selling the rights for $500 an acre to that water. He still holds the land. He can still hunt on it. He can still run cattle on it and everything else, but he's selling away the water rights. Of course, he's going to be pretty short on water for his cattle. They're going to be some longhorn and nasty-looking cattle. Anyway, Gaddafi's not doing any better this morning either. He lives up to a wily reputation, you know, wily coyote Gaddafi, and he resists ouster. This by Bloomberg. Flavia Krause Jackson and Carolyn Alexander collaboratively writing for Bloomberg. As foreign envoys converge on Istanbul to discuss yet again how to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. Listen to the language here, folks. How to get rid of Muammar. This guy's in charge of his country, you know. He's the Libyan dictator. How to get rid of him. Wow. I wonder if we could get foreign envoys to converge someplace and plan on how to get rid of Barry the Usurper. Ah, I don't know. I wonder if that would be considered international terrorists if we'd have that kind of a meeting. Well, anyway, the international terrorists are sharpening their knives once again on Muammar for the first time in a week. This is the first news article we've heard out of Libya. For all the early talk of days, not weeks, to the end game, Gaddafi has survived for 4 months of NATO bombings and confounded diplomats with his mixtures of bluffs and threats. It's the same bag of tricks Gaddafi has used to keep more than 100 tribes under control since taking power in a military coup in 1969. Here's the quote. The man is a fox. Yeah, a wily coyote, said Karim Mezran, a Libyan exile and a political science professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies in Bologna, Italy. Quote, he's adept at running rings around his enemy. He's done it for decades. He's doing it again. Wow. The wily coyote, Muammar Gaddafi. The future of North African nation without Gaddafi and how to fund and arm the impoverished rebels trying to end his four-decade rule has been at the crux of the past 4 monthly meetings of the 22-nation Libya contact group. The Turks host the latest round tomorrow. The problem is they've underestimated his resilience, and even if his eventual ouster is inevitable, he could hang on for months, even amid fuel shortages, according to Mezran. Since the last meeting in Abu Dhabi, Turkey has become the 26th nation to recognize the rebels' Benghazi National Transitional Council. The U.S. is not one of them, however. Legislation to give rebels access to frozen Libyan assets is stalled in the U.S. Senate, adding to the prospect that the rebels will run out of cash to buy food and supplies. So they don't have the bullets, the beans, or the Qurans to get the job done, apparently. Maybe some of you heard yesterday, maybe you've been up on the Daily Paul, you maybe have listened to this clip. I'm not going to play it. You can certainly find it for yourselves. Easily done. Ron Paul grilling Benjamin Shalom. But here's the article off Bloomberg. Bernanke signals the Fed has the tools to spur growth if economies fail to rebound. Well, of course, if you dig into the FOMC meeting and listen to some of the other talks out there, you know, they've been firing, as I've been saying, they've been firing blanks for a long time. Well, that's where they're headed. Jeanine Aversa and Joshua Zumbrum writing this one collaboratively. Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke signaled that the central bank has more tools for monetary easing should the economy weaken and stymie efforts to generate jobs. Well, you'll find that this article kind of defeats that statement. What kind of tools do they have? They can either increase or decrease the money supply, or they can raise or lower the interest rates. And beyond that, they're pretty much fresh out of bullets. The Fed could pledge to keep the main interest rate at a record low and hold its balance sheet at $2.87 trillion. Or Benjamin Bernanke could stand on his head in the corner. But beyond that, he's pretty much fresh out of luck. It could also buy more bonds, increase the average maturity of its security holdings, or cut the interest rate it pays the banks on their reserves. These are the tools they got. They've been using these tools over and over and over again. It's all they got. It's monetary policy on the Fed's part, fiscal policy on the legislature's part. Here's the quote. We have to keep all the options on the table. He's got all three of them in front of him most of the day. Bernanke said in a semi-annual testimony to the House Financial Services Committee, you know, that's chaired by Ron Paul, but they didn't say that in this article. The economy still needs a good deal of support. When Ron Paul asked Benjamin Shalom whether or not gold was money, Benny said, no, not money. Not money. It's only been money for thousands and thousands of years, but Benny, he don't recognize that. Why? Well, it's because he sat at the feet and licked the shoes and the boots of Lord John Maynard Keynes. Keynesians, you know, it's gold. It's just trash. It's just trash. Right back.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Micro plant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to OracleBroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And cruising into the last segment of the first hour of our two-hour extravaganza, let's go back into this article again about Benjamin Shalom. Kind of big news. This is part of the reason why we had such a great spike, I think, in the gold market. Again, he says he's got to keep all the options on the table after predicting the economy will strengthen during the second half of 2011. The Bernanke left open the door to further stimulus by saying that sagging home prices, hard-to-get loans, and 9.2% unemployment pose long-term obstacles to growth. Stocks rose, the dollar weakened, gold spiked. As long as he was talking and his mouth was running yesterday, gold was climbing up higher and higher. Here's another one off Bloomberg. Bank delays a push of 1 million U.S. foreclosures into 2012 in an ominous shadow. All right? You know, this foreclosure gate continues to deepen. And now, because there's so much pressure on the banks, they can't foreclose all the properties that they needed to do in 2011, and so they're having to force them into 2012. But, of course, the further down the road they kick this can, the longer it's going to be for the real estate market to rebound, if it does, come back, restore, do whatever. But all they're doing is a delay tactic. Hear this by Dan Levy. Lender delays in processing home loan defaults will push as many as 1 million U.S. foreclosure filings from this year to 2012 or beyond, casting an ominous shadow on the housing market, according to Realty Track, Inc. All right? The number of properties receiving a notice of default, auction, or repossession plunged 29% in the first half of 2011. Now, that's when they started to turn the heat up under Bank of America, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, the rest of these clowns for the securitization of mortgages from the same period last year. procedural delays caused a probe into bank documentation errors. They just can't get away from this. Combined with weak consumer sentiment and a jobless rate above 9% are weighing on property recovery by adding a backlog of distressed homes. A clogged foreclosure pipeline may prevent real estate prices from finding a bottom, underline that, as the housing slump enters its sixth year. Here's the quote. If you accept the premise that foreclosures are the black cloud hanging over the market, we're not going to get price stability and people won't leave the sidelines until that cloud is cleared away, said Nicholas Retsinas, professor of real estate at the Harvard Business School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. U.S. home prices fell 33% from July 2006 through April. According to the S&P Case-Shiller Index of 20 cities, Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shalom Alev Israel Bernanke said in testimony to Congress yesterday that the ongoing weakness in home values is reducing household wealth and limiting consumer confidence. And that report will be out later. Realty Track in January forecast as many as 3.2 million foreclosure filings for 2011. Delays have persisted as state attorneys general investigate robo-signing. I mean, this is a household word now. The practice of pushing through documents without verifying their accuracy. Total filings for the year are likely to be about 2 million at the current pace, compared with 2.9 million in all of 2010, Rick Sharga, the senior VP, said in an interview. Quote, this casts an ominous shadow over the housing market where recovery is unlikely to happen until the current and forthcoming inventory of distressed properties can be whittled down to a manageable number. And every one of those houses out there, foreclosures, people are still living in them, people are moving into them, people are camping on them, squatting in them, but all of them need to be maintained and lawns mowed and all of that, and it's not a good program. Three-year low, foreclosure filings in the first half declined by 25%. All right, they're not sending out the paperwork. Declined by 25% from the last 6 months of 2010, according to Realty Track. The drop in filings is keeping home prices above where they should be. So when you're out there right now, down in Florida and every place else, you're out there and you're getting your windshield time with your realtor, you're looking at a house that's being sold to you today that is still likely to drop in prices. What he says here is that you're seeing an artificial floor. This ain't the bottom. If supply flooded the market without all the delays, you'd see another 10% drop. So if you're going to do a little windshield time with your realtor and you're ready to put together a purchase and sale agreement, cut that price down by another 10% just to be safe, okay? Undercut the listing by another 10% or you're going to regret it. That's my advice to America. All right, one more here. J.P. Morgan names Larry Slaughter as the co-chief of the North American Investment Bank. Of course, Larry Slaughter, he's over in England. J.P. Morgan Chase, the story by Brett Foley, the second biggest U.S. bank, appointed Larry Slaughter as the co-head of its North American banking and division. All right? So they've already had us, you know, terrified out of our wits, and now they're bringing in the slaughter. Well, the slaughter is about to begin. Just thought I'd share that with you. ConocoPhillips plans to split in two. Well, no, these aren't zygotes. This is just a way to obfuscate reality. I guess Jim Poulsen and Edward Klump. Klump. Edward Klump. Hi, Klump. Hi, my name's Edward Klump. My brother's name is Claude. Claude Klump. Just another hairy clump. ConocoPhillips said it would spin off its refining and marketing arm into a new business 2 weeks after Marathon Oil split itself up to increase returns for the investors. So they're going to split off the refining division for ConocoPhillips and go down the road with two parallel tracks. Marathon Petroleum Corporation, Marathon's former refining business, debuted on the New York Stock Exchange this month. Marathon rose as much as 11% on the day it was split, blah, blah, blah. I love it, said Fadal Geit, a New York-based analyst at Oppenheimer & Company who rates the shares outperform and owns none. It worked for Marathon, it'll work even better for ConocoPhillips. ConocoPhillips is a much better company. So that's Conoco, and that's in the news. Here's another one, J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan beats the estimates as net rises 13%. So just when you think that things are going really bad for you in your life, and they probably are, Don Kopecky, writing for Bloomberg, tells us that things are going pretty rosy for J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, the second largest U.S. bank, booking up a net income here rising 13%, higher than the analysts estimated, as far as borrowers paid on time and the bank reduced credit card losses reserves by $1 billion. All right. Second quarter net income climbed to $5.43 billion, or $1.27 a share, from $4.8 billion, or $1.09 in the same period. J.P. Morgan, led by Jamie Dimon, chief executive officer, was the most profitable U.S. bank last year, with a record of $17.4 billion in earnings. How much of that was the TARP money? Well, that's what they said. Net income was buoyed by the release of $7 billion in reserves back into income as the U.S. economy improved. Where did it improve, Jamie? A benefit that Diamond, 55 years of age, says doesn't represent quality earnings. You continue to get reserve releases, which means that your headline earnings per share numbers beat the estimates at Paul Miller, so on and so forth. Investors see that as poor quality and instead look at the underlying fundamentals, pre-tax, pre-provision profits, or underlying revenue numbers. You always look at the price-to-earnings ratio. One more here, Swiss. Swiss are in trouble thinking about how high the Swiss franc is going. You know, it looks good for the Forex market. Don't look too good for the people who live there. Simone Meiser writing this one. Meyer writing this one for Bloomberg. Swiss companies are taking matters into their own hands as the central bank shows little willingness to weaken the franc after it surged to a record. Now, they've done this once before. I reported on that when it happened. The Swiss central bankers all got together and they stomped all over the top of the head of the Swiss franc. And it worked for a while, but it's made its way back up. Lonza Group, a Swiss chemicals maker, is extending working hours without additional pay, while the country's labor union federation, representing about 380,000 workers, said it's in talks with companies about taking steps such as paying wages in euros and pegging salaries to exchange rate moves. The world's largest maker of power transmission gear is weighing whether to buy more parts from the euro region to lower costs. So the higher your currency, the more valuable, I guess, the higher your currency goes, the worse it is for you in the foreign marketplace. It's not a good thing. The franc has a brutal impact on exporters, said Hans Hess, president of Swiss Men, the largest lobby group for manufacturers, in a telephone interview from Zurich. It's as if a Formula One driver, Sebastian Vettel, had to start behind his opponents. To win under these conditions, it's very difficult. So things are a little bit squeaky over there for the Swiss. We'll be right back. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is Oracle Broadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And so welcome back to our Thursday, July the 14th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, you can find our website, becomevocallocal.com. Up on the wedge, we have a web, and we have a chat room up there. It runs all the time. Might jump into the chat room, see what's going on in there. It's kind of like a parallel broadcast. Much information is shared every day, and if you want to get on the email list for after the broadcast to receive some of the links that are dropped into that chat room, you can certainly do that. Just look for 10K Puddles in the chat room and ask him to put you on the list. A lot of folks are enjoying that benefit on a daily basis. They do a lot of research in that chat room, and you can benefit from it just by popping into the chat room. Getting on the email list for the links and other comments that are put into the chat room during the day. Now back into our discussion. That's it for the news for the day. Going back into our book, Finance, Part 6, Chapter 18, Long-Term Financing. This is the Introduction to Business by Gloss Baker. Just giving you little bits out of this day by day by day. A textbook for the first course in business on the collegiate level, published back in 1967. Give us an idea of where some of these gurus out there, you know, in their 50s and their 60s and 70s, where they what they learned when they went to college, they must have forgotten. Of course, we never learn any of this stuff unless you go through this process, and I can assure you that even those that were taking this course at college, at least with this textbook as a guide, they never covered any of this material. There was, you know, Chapter 1, Section 3, Chapter 7, Chapter Part 9, and then, you know, the final exam is going to be on Wednesday, and then everybody go gets drunk and stoned and sex and drugs and rock and roll. That's what happened in the 70s. Anyway, back to the discussion, talking about ownership. So here they are, you know, here we got Jamie Dimon up there, and we got Lloyd Blankfein up there, and they're right out in the front. These are the point men. But as we discovered in looking into the organization of business and whatnot, it's really not the point guys. They're employees, all right? Jamie Dimon doesn't own J.P. Morgan. Lloyd Blankfein doesn't own Goldman Sachs, all right? They're the front guys. They get paid a lot of money, but they're getting paid, too. They're getting salaries, so they're employees, all right? But the owners of that company, of those companies, basically, all the decisions, the big primary decisions, I think, are made by the stockholders. Now, I might be mistaken. I don't sit on their board of directors. I just have sat on boards of directors before, and I just happen to know a lot of decisions are made there. And then, typically, the president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer do what the board of directors told them to do, and they get it done. They're like the go-to guys. Then, there's all the stockholders, all right? And there's both voting and non-voting shares, and there's preferred and common stocks, et cetera. All right, let's just talk a little bit about that. Voting or non-voting stocks, let's go into preferred first. General features of preferred stocks. All preferred stocks have a preference as to dividends. That's why they call them preferred. And they are either cumulative or non-cumulative, participating or non-participating, voting or non-voting, and par and no par. And then the textbook is going to go on and it's going to work through all four of those or five of those variables and tell us what all that means. But as a preference as to dividends, the very name preferred stock indicates that this type of stock must have a preference over another type. Without exception, preferred shareholders receive dividends before common shareholders. So the people at the top of the pile here, the people at the top of the heap, want to get in there on that preferred shareholder business. Because if things go to hell in a handbasket, and they have to sell out the whole thing, including the building. When they sell the whole building and all the copy machines and all the computers, the preferred stock guys, they get a cut of that sale that the common stockholders will never see. All right? If a company has some earnings, but not enough to warrant declaring dividends on both preferred and common stocks, the preferred stocks will be favored. So they're first in, first out. They get the money first. All right? Preferred stocks. The board of directors of a corporation has the right to pass the dividend. That's a key phrase, which means the dividend that might be expected by the preferred shareholders is not declared. And we'll talk more about that briefly on the other side and then dive back into Henry St. Simon.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so, you know, part of the game, I guess, in research and all of this and our quest for knowledge and understanding is to realize that we don't know everything, can't know everything, and I don't know anybody that does. I certainly haven't got all the answers. But one thing I have learned is that, you know, when you don't know, well, I guess I could use Donald Rumsfeld's terms. There's things that we know, and there's things that we don't know. There are the known knowns, and there are the unknown knowns, the things we don't know. Then there are the known unknowns, and then there are the unknown unknowns. And what he's basically doing there is just running the permutation of two, all the possible combinations of the things we know and the things that we don't know, and the things we can know and the things we can't know. And so sometimes reading through something like this material gives us clues, all right, things that you don't know. like the very name preferred stock. You know, some people know this, some people don't. The idea of passing the dividend, you know what it means? Why is it important? Why wouldn't it be important? Why wouldn't it be important to you, especially if you were interested in investing in stocks, or if you're thinking about starting a company or a corporation, or if you wanted to understand what's happening in your state government, your city government, your county government, the federal government? They're all corporations. We learned that, corporation nation. So maybe we need to understand who's running the show here. But the right to pass the dividend, the board of directors of a corporation has that right. And so if they don't make enough money this year, they can pass the dividend to next year. Now, the common stockholders, shareholders, they're not going to get any of that. But the preferred guys, they might not get their big bonus this year, but they'll get a dividend next year if there's anything to distribute, all right? And they can pass it along until they've got it. Dividends on, on preferred stocks are usually declared on a quarterly basis, although some companies pay on a semi-annual or an annual basis. It's divided. If a dividend is passed by the board of directors, the question arises as to whether the amount is forever lost to the preferred shareholders. If the stock is cumulative preferred stock, the dividend emitted in previous periods must be declared before any action can be taken, leading to a distribution of profits to the common shareholders. If the stock is non-cumulative preferred stock, such emissions need not be taken into consideration at a later date. These are just little technicalities on how these stocks work, all right? On participating or non-participating, preferred stocks have an established dividend rate. For example, an issue may state that the return shall be $6 a year per share. You talk about some pretty interesting returns. Come up and look at the mining stocks on Kitco this morning. Golden Star Resources is knocking it over the top. Picked up another 10% bump last night. Wow. Some people wait a year to get that kind of a return on your investment, and the mining shares are doing especially well. But when the firm is particularly successful, like some of the miners are right now, the preferred shareholders will be limited to an annual return of the amount stated unless the stock is participating. In other words, participating preferred stock allows the owners to share in excess earnings, where non-participating preferred stock limits the annual dividends to the amount stated at the time of the issue. So if you go into a restaurant, you order your supper, and you don't realize that all supper orders comes with a scoop of ice cream and a slice of pecan pie at the end of the meal, and you walk out before you get your pie and your ice cream, you've missed out. You might have had the opportunity to participate in that preferred stock, but you didn't know it. And so when you go in looking to buy stocks and bonds and things like that, if you don't know what's out there, you're just dependent upon, you know, whatever generosity your broker might have. Voting or non-voting. Common law, amazing, they talk about common law in 1967, even in a college textbook. Common law holds that since stock is ownership, who owns, FedGov? Why the stockholders, the bondholders? Oh, since stock is ownership, all stock is entitled. Dave from Montana called in the other day. We're talking about entitlements. Well, all stock is entitled to vote. You're entitled to vote. You're a stockholder. Or are you? Good question there, Willie. Anyway, in the case of preferred stocks, this privilege, taxes, codified, statutory, taxable, license, privileges. This privilege, in the case of preferred stocks, this privilege is frequently removed or restricted by the contract under which it is issued. It is a right that is sacrificed in return for securing other favored treatments. So we visualize the world that we live in, the state is government is state, and we think about it from the standpoint of voting, non-voting shares, we can see here that some of our rights are sacrificed in return for what? Securing other favored treatments. So all rights, you Americans are going to know what it's like to have no rights pretty soon. Rights have their corresponding duties, but they can be sacrificed. It's like old Rousseau, social contract. We throw all of our rights into a hat, and we only take out those rights that we're willing to extend to someone else. You see how business and politics and all this stuff works together. If preferred stock does not have regular voting power, that is one vote for each share. Haven't we heard that? One man, one vote, one time. It may be given voting privileges, so it goes from a right to a privilege, on special matters, such as when a bond issue is proposed. Don't you go out to the polls every time they float a bond? Of course you do. You're a shareholder, an owner if you're a citizen, right? As when a bond issue is proposed that might jeopardize the favored position of preferred shareholders. And an even more common provision is the extension of voting rights when a stated number of quarterly preferred dividends have been passed by the board of directors. And then par, no par, we don't need to go into that too much. But, well, let's go ahead, it's quick. Almost all preferred stock are issued with a stated value printed on the face of the certificate. So you just go into your wallet, pull out your Federal Reserve notes, and they have a value printed on the face, which is known as its par value. If no stated value is indicated, it is known as a no-par stock. The fundamental distinction is whether the stock certificate does or does not carry a printed monetary value. Historically, and remember at the time that this was being printed, written, they were still talking about money, all right, gold and silver, honey, all right. Historically, all stocks had a par value that the public, to its sorrow, frequently confused with its market value. It's just like your dollar bill. The public, to its sorrow, frequently confused with market value. Dollar. What's a dollar anyway? What's a quart? What's a gallon? In order to combat this type of fraud, state legislatures authorize corporations to issue no par stocks. So pretty soon, Federal Reserve notes will just come out and they'll be blank. It's like this new homosexual, lesbian, transgender world that we live in where the globalists would just prefer that we're all born with smooth crotches, right? We'll just be no-par people. The fundamental distinction is whether the stock certificate does or does not carry the value printed. This type of a fraud, state legislatures authorize corporations to issue no-par stock. For accounting purposes, the board of directors sometimes assigns an arbitrary stated value to each share of no-par stock. But such an action does not change its status. And that's key. Key words there, status. All right. So anyway, just throw that out for your consumption. Lots of words to think about as we look at business, finance, the daily news, etc. Going back into our discussion here of the hero of the great American Revolution, the Order of Cincinnato, the New World of Henry St. Simon, we'll get underway with that right after this.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And so, once again, back into the discussion here of Claude Henri Dubreuil St. Simon. We'll continue our discussion about positivism and finding out more about what it is and how it impacts us. But going back into this time period again, really to the founding of our country here. And in the lead up and roll up into the French Revolution, time of permanent revolution, revolution and counter-revolutions. And I'm just sharing with you excerpts out of this book, The New World of Henri St. Simon by Frank Emmanuel. Frank Emmanuel, and he's written other books as well. The 18th century confronts the gods and the prophets of Paris, being two of them. But on November the 19th of 1793, the person of Claude Henri de Saint-Simon was seized on a warrant for the arrest of a certain Simon, a surname which figured prominently in the records of the police and of the revolutionary tribunals. His family, you know, he come from a long line of Simons, Saint Simons. And they weren't well liked. Let me jump over here. The fate of Claude Henri's uncle, Charles Francois Saint Simon, the former bishop of Agde, was tragic. During the Revolution, he tried to hide his identity, living as an inconspicuous abbey in the parish of Saint Sulpice in Paris. In a letter which the 70-year-old cleric sent to the revolutionary committees after his arrest, he protested that he had not been administered the sacraments in 1764, but an ex-noble and an ex-priest, a relative of the émigrés, was a counter-revolutionary cut to cloth. Jacobin suspicions were confirmed when titles of nobility were discovered under a stone in his attic. Jacobins. Yeah. What a bunch. Anywho, back to the discussion. Continuing, St. Simon, it was a surname that figured prominently in the records of the police and of the revolutionary tribunals. Dossiers have been preserved for Citoyen Simon, that would be like Citizen Simon, Chevalier Simon, Samuel Simon, Simon Simon, Isaac Simon, Francois Thomas Simon, Charles Simon, Victor Simon, Pierre Simon, Pitler Simon, Fritz Simon, Henri Simon, Michael Simon, and the unfortunate Darkiel Simon, for whom there is an order of liberation on October the 10th of 1794, after his head had long since been dropped into the basket, all right? So they covered up everything they could, and, you know, they were running under all kinds of names. This is revolutionary. For all of those out there that are stacking up the bullets and the beans, getting ready to sharpen your knives, people die in revolutions. When the great Condorcet was arrested on March the 27th, 1794, he was hiding under the simple alias of Pierre Simon. Everybody liked to come under this heading. Here was a list of suspects who in themselves might well have represented all the counter-revolutionary conspiracies agitated against Jacobin France. Mighty was the revolutionary will, but it was not free from the play of caprice in a sea of Simons. The order of arrest which struck down Claude Henri de Saint-Simon had emanated 2 days previously from both the Committee of Public Safety, funny, committees of safety, and the Committee of General Security. General Security. Those who would give up their essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither their liberty nor their safety, Franklin wrote. After a few months' detention at Saint-Pélagie, or something like that, on May the 3rd of 1794, Saint-Simon was transferred to Luxembourg, antechamber of death. There he was kept in secret, with the threat of the guillotine imminent. He followed the practice of many a victim of revolutionary justice and wrote in self-defense to the members of the Committee of General Security of the National Convention. Saint-Simon's spelling tended ordinarily to be eccentric, and his distraction multiplied the number of errors. The apology, in other words, is very poorly written. His spelling was atrocious. The apologia is nevertheless written with a firm hand. It is carefully phrased, preserves the customary legal form, and is supported by ample documentary proof of his contentions. Often the prisoner grows arrogant, almost irate, in his proclamation of revolutionary virtue. And people in the talk business are arrogant, almost irate, in their proclamations of revolutionary virtue. Continuing, and I'm not going to read it all to you. It's interesting to read, but I'm going to drop down a little bit. Saint Simon further claimed that he had stopped wearing the cross of St. Louis, or St. Louis, 2 years before it was suppressed, and that he had deposited it at Peronne, certificates of his numerous armory commissions and his military medals. The municipality had divided these mementos into two groups. The papers and parchments were burned in St. Simon's presence. The Order of Cincinnatus and the gold pieces of the Cross of St. Louis were preserved in the registry, his cherished Order of Cincinnatus. If added testimonies were necessary, the committee only had to remember that from the very outset of the revolution, he had severed all ties with the aristocracy, including members of his own family. He was no idler, however, living on inherited wealth. Since the revolution, these are his words, since the revolution began, my regular occupation has been the purchase and management of national lands for a Saxon whom I persuaded to transfer his fortune and his domicile to France. He had entrusted me with the task of finding him investments, and I had bought national lands exclusively. Kind of sounds like George Soros, huh? Buying up the Missouri River Valley and some of the others, buying national lands. I own no other goods but national property, on which I have made a down payment from the fruits of my labor. He concludes this lengthy part. The sale of national lands was from the lifeblood of the revolution. Think about that from the standpoint of news today. The sale of national lands was the lifeblood of the revolution. Vicki Davis at work in Idaho attempting to block the creation of this foreign trade zone in her area, many others around the country doing likewise. The sale of national lands. America for sale. A man who cast his lot with the Jacobins by daring to purchase the confiscated properties of the nobility and the church was performing an act of civic virtue. A six of one and half a dozen the other, depends on which side of the coin you happen to be viewing. All right? In their time, it was considered to be an act of civic virtue to buy lands away from the church and away from the nobility. So today, Max Kaiser and others encouraging people to go out quickly and pick up silver while it's somewhat affordable yet, because every ounce of silver that can be transferred from the globalist hands into the hands of the people and the paupers is one less ounce of silver that they can use to tyrannize us later. Numerous documents from Falvey, Marcello, Cambrai, Peronne, towns near his ancestral estates lent credence to his story. And it continues. Let's drop down a little bit further. The Masonic Eye, St. Simon, member of popular societies. An old citizeness whom St. Simon had been supporting with a pension ever since her nephew was killed in a fight with aristocrats, scrawled a cross upon a document testifying that her imprisoned benefactor had heeded the revolutionary commandment to respect old age. In other words, the woman was not able to sign her name, but she scrawled a cross or an X. Another document, stamped with the symbol of the Masonic Eye and sent up by the Cambrai Committee of Vigilance, confirmed St. Simon's general account of himself and praised him as one of the most zealous members of the popular society, enduring its dangers and suffering its hardship. Is there any doubt that Claude Henri Duveroy Saint-Simon was a Mason? He was one of the most zealous members of the popular society, he claims, enduring its dangers and suffering its hardships. Saint Simon had been called upon to take over from a suspected officer the command of the National Guards in Cambrai. We'll continue with that on the other side, going to some more interesting stuff from long ago.
To the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Again, just giving you kind of a background on who is this guy, Henri Saint-Simon. I know some of you may not be too interested in knowing about positivism, but it might be to your benefit to learn about it. Its influence is huge, tremendous, huge. And this is a lengthy book. We're just into the very beginnings of it. Again, he was apprehended, and here's the description. Age 33. Right? Isn't that telling? Age 33. His height was 5'5", so he wasn't a tall man. Hair and eyebrows brown, aquiline nose, medium round chin, ordinary forehead, and a full face. The authors have done some digging to bring this stuff up. And here, on September the 30th of 1793, only 2 months prior to his arrest, he officially dropped his aristocratic name in a solemn ceremony before the bar of Peronne, as excerpts from their minutes prove. Quote, the citizen Claude Henry de Saint-Simon, former noble living in this city, presents himself to the council and declares that he wishes to wipe out the blemish of his original sin by a republican baptism. Now, I know some of you are kind of antagonistic about this idea of the restoration of a constitutionally limited republican form of representative government that our founders bequeathed us with, our birthright. But some people, you know, are on the other side of this issue. Now, here's Saint Simon, originally opposed to the Republicans in France. He wants to give up all of his nobility and everything, wipe them all out, wipe out what he considers to be blemishes, his original sin, by what? A Republican baptism. He asks us to change a name which recalls an inequality proscribed by capital R reason. Curious stuff going on, the age of reason, the Enlightenment. Capital R, reason, proscribed by reason. Long before it was denounced in our orders, him to pick one. He announces his choice. He wants to be known as Claude Henry Bonhomme. Bonhomme, that's, you know, Ben Franklin used that as well. It's, you know, like Poor Richard Bonhomme. The council, after hearing the citizen Sauvage, who represented the procurator of the commune, decides that the former Saint Simon shall henceforth be called Citizen Bonhomme, and that he should be listed under this name in the census of the commune. And so all of the various states were known as communes. Romans, all the French revolutionaries had revived the ancient customs of adoption, and in the Constitution of 1793 had inserted a clause bestowing the rights of citizenship upon anyone who took upon himself unto himself a foster child or a parent. When he was being detained in prison, well into 1794, the men of Peronne copied the records of all the meritorious acts which he had performed 2 months before his arrest and sent him to Paris. So they're trying to get him out. He still hasn't had the guillotine dropped on him. In the end, Robespierre moved against the whole crew, and he was able to throw many of their heads into a common basket by using the police agent's technique of guilt by association. So it didn't go well for these people that were trying to help him out. All of their heads went into a common basket, especially with the Amagrai conspiracy directed from abroad. It was action happening coming out of England and elsewhere. In his letter written from prison to the Committee of General Security, Saint-Simon had made reference to his means of livelihood, the purchase of national lands, appearing in his own name or concealing his interest behind straw men. Saint-Simon had left his mark on land transactions involving millions of francs throughout the northern provinces of France. On that memorable day in Cambrai, at the time of the king's flight to Varennes, when he had displayed revolutionary ardor in the presence of the hostile Swiss guards, he had to use guile and all his powers of persuasion to force the resumption of the sale of the national lands, which had been halted by the terrified citizens of the province. From the archival records and his own later testimony, Saint-Simon emerges as one of the great speculators of the revolutionary period. So he did well. And I bring all that out to you just to set the backdrop, because he was going to then go on and become, you know, basically a savant and run a salon. And you might wonder, well, how was he able to do this? Well, ultimately, he squandered his great fortune, but he was a man of no small means of his own making. Dropping down a bit further here, moving forward, it's an irony of revolutionary history that the politicians of various stripes who attacked the international bankers and speculators as traitors to the revolution perished in their own purges, while many of the bankers and speculators with an admirable capacity for survival eluded the guillotine to prosper under the directorate, the empire, and the restoration. So much of what was going on then is the same kind of agitation going on today. I reiterate, it's an irony of revolutionary history that the politicians of various stripes who attacked the international bankers and speculators as traitors to the revolution perished in their own purges, and the bankers, these international bankers, skated. The 11 months of his confinement left a lasting impression upon St. Simon's mind. Whenever he wrote or thought about the revolution, this terrible duress weighed heavily upon him. He could not forget the anarchy and capriciousness of the revolution, and he hated it, even when he praised some of its works. And we'll find the very same thing when we get to August Comte, all right? What we're talking about here are people who disliked the anarchy and the upheaval. Their concept was order, order out of chaos. Are you with me? There's two sides to every coin, and we need to understand this. And so those that are intent upon maintaining order and keeping their little thing going, these are they that were on the, in the opposition to the revolutions. Even though he served in the American Revolution, the War for Independence. Even Robespierre's pure worship of the Supreme Being, I should read the whole thing, the conspiracy of the Hebertists was one of the last with which Robespierre dealt with before his own fall, swept away by egalitarian ideas. Egalitarian. Liberty, fraternity, equality. Right? The great slogan of the revolution. Swept away by egalitarian ideas, these extremists toyed with the agrarian law, were frenzied in their attacks on every form of religion. Even Robespierre's pure worship of the Supreme Being and associated themselves with men who preached against the sanctity of property. Some of their number, Desvieux among them, even advertised doctrines of free love. They promised more bread, more blood, and they had a mob of sans-culottes from the Paris communes following them. Right? Free love, doctrines of free love. More bread, more blood. Wow. They preached against the sanctity of property. Lots of stuff going on here. On August the 28th, jumping ahead, on August the 28th of 1794, the precious Act of Liberation was issued in consideration of the demands in the police concerning citizen St. Simon, called Bonhomme, detained at the Luxembourg. The committee ordered that he be set at liberty and that the seals on his papers be lifted. St. Simon now would establish his center of operations in Directorate Paris, far from annoying the annoying surveillance of local revolutionaries, though for a time he continued to maintain relationships with the town officials at the Peron district, piling up a treasury of certificates of residence and civicism against possible re-arrests. And so, what we've got then basically is the beginning of this fellow's life as the savant. He got away barely with his life, avoiding the guillotine. He was able to set aside his nobility and all of that and gain some credibility with the people. And at the same time, he stood firmly on the opposite side, if you will, of the revolution. And there's a lot to be understood in that. Let's drop down a little bit first. On the surface, St. Simon seemed uninterested in all those tiresome commercial details. He was aglow with grand projects for the reorganization of society. Early in 1798, he departed for Brussels, which he had chosen as the seat of a reforming noviciate. Not only was he, you know, had a vision of grandeur there, but, you know, these novices and whatnot, the savant, he was, in a way, setting up his cult, which became known as the cult became known ultimately as the St. Simonians. And I think if you studied carefully, you might find that there are many today that still share these beliefs. But again, he was suddenly aglow. Early in 1798, he departed for Brussels, began to write letters to so-and-so, proposing the establishment of a business house and a bank such as had never before existed. So he's thinking about this industrial revolution. He's an idea man, a thinker, not very deep thinker, as I mentioned before, but he is thinking, and he's thinking about setting up a business house and a bank, quote, such as had never before existed. Rodin's seizure of control of the company he accepted as a bath of a contrary, in which his soul, which had begun to grow soft, was being immersed. Back in Paris again, he played with the fantasy of a romantic escape to the valley of Montmorency, where he would proceed to re-educate himself as a prelude to the formulation of a new moral system. He had visions of living the simple life in the company of his sheepdog and of drawing his ideas directly from nature, the laws of nature, nature's God, supreme beings, all of these thoughts were current in his day.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here is a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm.
Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
You know, even a common reading, you know, of history, you know, don't get the idea. You don't understand how the soil of France and other places was just absolutely soaked with blood in these days. And we're moving into a time period here that may, you know, parallel the same. Of course, all of the last 100 years has just been one blood-soaked year after the next. All around America, we butchered millions and millions and millions of people. And so it pales, you know, by this time of the revolution may pale by comparison. But nevertheless, it was another one of these points in time where mankind was at a tipping point. We tipped perhaps the wrong way. But in this turbulent atmosphere, Saint Simon breathed freely. There were no prescribed forms and there were no restraints. So anarchy largely was prevailing. I'm trying to figure out, you know, as I like to say, you know, if we're going to be that replacement set, and you can be assured of one thing, there's going to be government on the other side of whatever kind of turmoil that we have in the near future. There's going to be government. It's either going to be one of our choosing or it'll be one of someone else's choosing. I hope we choose carefully. But in this turbulent atmosphere, St. Simon breathed freely. There were no prescribed forms. There were no restraints. The government was notoriously, frankly, corrupt. Controlled by Barras the Rotten, the old scribe Abisais, and the financier Ovard. The general spirit of license expressed itself in the extravagant, foppish costuming of the incroyables and the diaphanous gowns of the women, virtually see-through clothing. If one should believe De Lapine, the author of Le Doux Malgré Lui, or something like that, a pasquille written to discredit the cult, St. Simon himself was an emulator of the Marquis de Sade and directed the wild orgies and depravities of the Jeunesse Dorée. His contemporaries speak of his relations with prostitutes. His friends refer to the refinements of his lubricity. His guests describe his intimate suppers unsurpassed by those of the Oeil de Bouffe, or Bouif, something like that. A lot of French in this stuff. They report that in his excesses, he made a studied attempt to outstrip the famous regent and his cardinal, that he reproduced better than by the pagan Saturnalia, the mysteries of the bonne mère, and their imitation of the orgies of the ancients. Michaud's popular biography dictionary added gambling to the list of Saint Simon's vices, and then crowned the portrait of the debauché by system rather than by taste. He inoculated himself with all the maladies of the age in order later to determine their physiology. It kind of reminds me of the other Loch Ness monster. Do as thou wilt, for it's the whole of the law. A pastel of St. Simon, painted by Madame Labille Guillard in 1796, gives the impression of a well-nourished individual with a round face, a high, broad forehead. The lips are delicately shaped and sensual, the nose long and firm and aquiline, the eyes large and soft, keenly intelligent, the eyebrows gracefully arched. The pampered face has a vague, feminine air. A rather quizzical smile is compressed between the lips. From a de Forcy, who was a young man who knew St. Simon, Michelet derives a perceptive word picture which can serve as a companion piece. Quote, he was a handsome man, very gay, with an open and jovial face, admirable eyes, a fine long nose, Don Quixotic, or Don Quixotic. He lived in and around the Palais Royal with the cynical libertinism of a grand seigneur sans culotte. His toilette was in the manner of Anaxagoras Chumant, whoever that might be. No tie or a very low one, which fell at random. No tie or a very low one. His speech was often characterized by a rather obscene cynicism, but he could treat serious matters seriously. Our conversations usually turned on the evils of our social order. I do not remember ever having heard him express an opinion about the role of women in his social organization. All I can say is that he had anything but indifference for this half of the human species, and that he expressed his feelings about them in terms that were not very platonic. Nevertheless, his very keen taste for physical beauty is no wise prevented him from appreciating the qualities of their hearts. The most beautiful women, he said, hold no attraction for me if her features fail to show me an expression of goodness. He made a noble use of his money, well or ill acquired, and he spoke of it in a tone of disdain which proves that he possessed his wealth without being possessed by it. Go ahead, he would say, to those whose efforts in the promotion of a useful enterprise he encouraged, and when it is only money that is lacking, come to me. I have some of that. He was not one of those philosophers of whom Rousseau spoke who are smitten with a vast love for humanity in order to dispense with loving their neighbors. So there's more we can understand about this fellow, all right? I'm just jumping from page to page, whipping through the early portions of this book. The meat and the potatoes are coming later. The constitution-making project, which St. Simon was identified, turned in a Napoleonic rather than in a libertarian direction. The Council of Ancients would be suppressed, he told the Republican Thibodeau, with the shocking frankness which he affected, and executive power would be centralized. He's not unaware of what was going down in America. And Thomas Paine was not unknown to these people, all right? Our founders were not unknown to them. They always spoke highly of the revolution here. One spoke of the forthcoming elections only to while away the time Saint-Simon and Lara Guiz claimed in their conversations that they had communicated their ideas to Barras and Napoleon, both of whom had adopted them. Saint-Simon's general political orientation, as reported by Thibodeau, would have been eminently acceptable at this time to the reigning ideologue circle of Madame de Stael, check her out, in Benjamin Constant, as well as to Talleyrand and Barras. In due course, many of the intellectual and philosophical constitution makers were destined to get far more than they had bargained for in their espousal of strong, centralized executive authority. As for Saint-Simon's authoritarian position, it was nearer to the political viewpoint he normally supported than was the libertarianism of his speeches in 1789. His sojourn in Luxembourg cured him of sympathy with the levelers. We talked about the levelers briefly yesterday. Had links dropped in the email circle yesterday on the levelers, if indeed he had ever had any. Enlightened despotism was as attractive to him as it was to the philosophes from whom he derived, as long as the absolute power was employed to put his social and philosophical theories into effect. And so today you've got Barry the usurper with the jutting jaw and the teleprompter, and he's out there with virtually the same disdain. As far as it appears to me, Barry the usurper is absolutely delighted with this enlightened despotism. It is attractive to him, as it was to the philosophe from whom he derives it, as long as the absolute power was employed to put his social, philosophical theories into effect. You know, the same could be said for Jorge Bush. Much the same attitude. And it continues. And there's lots of crudities involved in his life here at this stage. But the whole time was a time of debauchery. Unbelievably. When Saint-Simon, the declared aristocrat, was trying to establish relations with her, notice, no, Madame de Stael was the most famous woman in Europe. The center of the coterie of ideologues who had once expected to use Napoleon as a figurehead in order to rule France, on the morrow of the 18th of Brumaire of 1799, Madame de Stael's group were under the illusion that they had raised a pliable Marcus Aurelius to the throne and that through him the Institute would govern. The scientists and the ideologues, a great aristocracy of talent, a new ruling class would fill the councils of the state and control the educational system which determined its characters. An incredible time period. Leaflets to Humanity. The development of new social philosophies. The beginning of a new world order in earnest. An order that continues to today. You can find it at every level of our lives. You can find it in our schools. You can find it in the churches. You can find it in the economic sector, in the banking industry. It's the time of the industrials, the captains of finance, the captains of industry, shaping the world to their own desires through their imported dictators, supported in everything that they do by cadres of super social scientists, this pluralistic world that we live in, all the non-governmental organizations. Well, that's enough for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems. system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.